Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Later on in the show, we'll have a review of the new movie Snow White and the Huntsman, starring Kristen Stewart, Chris Hemsworth, and Charlize Theron. But right now, on the musical portion of the program, we're going to feature music from cinematic live-action fairy tales on the show. And we have a number of interesting selections for you, beginning with a relatively new score written for a much older movie. This is a score which was written by Philip Glass for a version of Beauty and the Beast, directed by Jean Cocteau back in the 1940s. Let's take a listen. Music written for the 1940s version of Beauty and the Beast, that music written rather recently by composer Philip Glass. Next up, we move along to a score from composer Trevor Jones, written for a splendid fairy tale directed by Jim Henson called The Dark Crystal. Let's take a listen. Thank you. music written for The Dark Crystal by Trevor Jones. On the next one, we're cheating a little bit because it's partially animated, but for the most part, it's a live-action fairy tale. This is music by Alan Menken, written for the Disney film Enchanted.
Thank you.
That charming music, of course, written by Mr. Alan Menken for the movie Enchanted. Next up, we move on to a fairy tale of sorts directed by Tim Burton, one of his more underrated movies of recent years, a fine film called Big Fish, featuring a score by, of course, Danny Elfman. Take a listen. That's music by Danny Elfman, a lengthy but rewarding piece written for Big Fish. Next up, we have a fine composition from Dario Marianelli, written for Terry Gilliam's The Brothers Grimm. Take a listen. You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're featuring music from live-action fairy tales on the program today. Next up, we offer a selection from a score by James Horner, written for a movie directed by Ron Howard called Willow. Take a listen. That's music written for the film Willow by composer James Horner. Next up, a fun score from Giorgio Moroder and Klaus Doldinger, written for a movie directed by Wolfgang Petersen called The Never-Ending Story. Take a listen. That's a fun piece, save for the fact that it just kind of fades out without a proper ending there, but an enjoyable score nonetheless. Next up, we have a score written by Javier Navarrete for a lovely movie directed by Guillermo del Toro called Pan's Labyrinth. Let's take a listen. Thank you. particularly intense selection from Javier Navarrete's score for Pan's Labyrinth. Last but not least, we have a brand new score to present from composer James Newton Howard, written for a film we'll review in just a few minutes, called Snow White and the Huntsman. Let's take a listen to his work. music by James Newton Howard, written for Snow White and the Huntsman, which we now move into our review of on the program. Fairy tales have certainly been fashionable again in recent years, but most filmmakers seem more interested in either satirizing them or defanging them with cutesy modern twist. As such, it's nice to discover that Snow White and the Huntsman is a fairy tale in the classic tradition, a dark, brooding story which presents its fantastical elements with sincerity and conviction. It's a film which draws far more from Peter Jackson's The Lord of the Rings than from Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, and it's all the better for that. The story will be somewhat familiar to most. An evil queen, played by Charlize Theron, has taken over the land and is determined to rule it forever. Alas, the only way to ensure her immortality is to kill the young Snow White, played by Kristen Stewart, who has recently escaped the queen's grasp and hidden in a haunted forest. The queen hires a skilled huntsman, played by Chris Hemsworth, to track down the young maiden and return her, a task the huntsman quickly abandons when he discovers the depths of the queen's villainy. From there, Snow White and the Huntsman team up and begin the process of figuring out how to strike back at the sadistic ruler. I honestly wasn't surprised by the relatively violent grit of the film, which the trailers have played up rather enthusiastically over the past few months. However, I was surprised by the film's lyricism. This is a movie which has plenty of time for both beauty and beastliness. There's a tremendous passage midway through the movie in which the title characters join forces with a group of dwarves, played by such prestigious actors as Bob Hoskins, Ian McShane, Ray Winston, and Toby Jones, and travel to a land of lush, fantastical wonder. The visuals in these sequences offer a magnificent blend of painterly realism and imaginative whimsy, like something out of Fantasia or a Miyazaki film. However, the film also finds beauty in its harsher landscape, presenting a strikingly cold world, which seems to have been almost entirely drained of organic life. The actors are all operating on different levels, each of which nicely suits the character they play. Charlize Theron delivers thunderousness portentousness as the queen and becomes increasingly arch and bombastic as the film proceeds. Chris Hemsworth contrasts this approach nicely with a charismatic salt-of-the-earth turn, and Kristen Stewart does subtle but impressive work as Snow White, slowly bringing her character from a fretful daze to a focused ferocity. Finally, the dwarves demonstrate a gently playful camaraderie, which is exceptionally reminiscent of the blustery chemistry between Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli. While the movie is certainly a far cry from the gentle version of the tale Walt Disney presented in 1939, it impressively avoids reveling in its edginess to an unnecessary degree. It's a dark movie, but it isn't afraid of being gentle, romantic, fantastical, or even funny from time to time, though it could probably use just a little more humor than it delivers. The intense action sequences work as well as they do because the filmmakers do such a fine job with quiet character development in the interim periods. The special effects employed are generally artful and revealing. The filmmakers aren't simply showing us how much money they have to spend. There are, unfortunately, a couple of notable weaknesses. First of all, Charlize Theron's villainous queen is given a compelling backstory, but the filmmakers don't really seem to know what to do with it, and simply choose to abandon it in the end. Even more bothersome is the presence of Sam Claflin as William, a character every bit as useless and unmemorable as the one he played in Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. The character only exists to set up a demographic-pleasing love triangle, but Hemsworth acts Claflin off the screen at every turn. Alas, this is one element the film chooses to leave unresolved, as if the answer to the dull question of which guy Snow White prefers is enough of a hook to bring us back for a sequel. To be sure, I'm interested in another round, but that's because I'd love to further explore this fascinating fairy tale world and the compelling characters who populate it. The blatant pandering to the Twilight crowd is annoying, but don't let that bump in the road prevent you from soaking in this rich, surprisingly satisfying fantasy. It's one of the summer's genuine pleasant surprises, and a welcome change of pace for the genre. I give it a rating of 3.5 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you've enjoyed the show, and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later. Trying to pick up the pace, trying to make it so I never see your face.
Gone, I'm alive, makes me feel like I took care.